In the early 1800s, Boston merchants became millionaires selling opium, although the drug helped fuel an epidemic in China. The opium trade created a financial addiction in Boston, where profits funded schools, libraries, hospitals, and early ventures into the Industrial Revolution. There are signs the traders unwittingly fed a physical addiction to opium as well. It's a story laced with irony. WBUR's Martha Biebinger begins with an issue of the Boston Medical and Surgical Journal, forerunner of today's New England Journal of Medicine.
If you flip to the editorial, published on September 4th, 1833, you see this question, right there at the top of the page. Now keep in mind, this was written by a doctor almost 200 years ago.
Is there any sure and safe method of curing a person of the habit of opium when that habit is confirmed by many years' use of the article?
Jonathan Jones, who's getting his PhD in history at Binghamton University, says the response to this question was overwhelming.
Starting with the next issue, you see a flood of doctors saying hey, I also know people that are addicted to opium. Here's what I've done to try to treat them. And this is actually a bigger problem than we realize.
One irony is how much this discussion back in the mid-1800s sounds like what we hear today. Take the way doctors in 1833 divided patients into those who had what was considered a legitimate addiction and those who did not. The patient in the editorial, a young mother, is legit. She was prescribed opium for a nervous irritation. When the woman tries to stop, she's racked by convulsions and vomiting. Jones says these 19th century doctors felt obligated to help patients like her who got hooked as the result of a prescription.
But then there are people who have gotten addicted to opium treating themselves for a medical problem or through what doctors consider to be thrill-seeking behavior. And they're not worthy of doctors intervening and trying to help them.
A month into the conversation in 1833, a Northampton doctor triggers a controversy that still rages today. Is addiction an illness or the sign of a weak, perhaps immoral, character? Towson University history professor Kelly Gray reads from that letter.
He specifically says, and I quote, "I consider this practice generally a real and complicated disease."
Thus began the first robust warnings about opium addiction in Massachusetts. Gray says these stories and others revealed a problem that still resonates. Physicians and pharmacists were dispensing opium without realizing the potential damage to patients.
Most of this would have been what we would think of now as prescription drug abuse.
Gray says opium was becoming one of, if not the most common medicine of the time, used to treat headaches, insomnia, diarrhea, stomach pains, cholera, and toothaches.
And then 3 years later, the person is still using it.
Historians have not nailed down the source of the opium feeding Boston's growing addiction. But 1833 falls during the peak of the China trade, when crews would have returned to Boston with at least a few chests of opium.
They do bring home small supplies of opium, usually whatever they can't sell in China.
That's Sam Houston State historian Thomas Cox. Each chest contained about 130 pounds of opium, so even a few chests unloaded on Boston wharves would have been enough to support a small medicinal trade. Cox says opium merchants frequently mention taking some themselves.
They just simply refer to it as the drug or the blue pills, because oftentimes opium is kind of compressed into these very small pills, which you could make in a chemist's shop very easily.
Opium use does not reach epidemic proportions in the U.S. until the late 1800s. Massachusetts would not be particularly hard hit, but state public health officials writing in 1872 are worried.
The opium habit, writes Dr. F. E. Oliver, is, quote, rapidly gaining ground, increasing as every successive year arrives.
So I'm in the studio now, flipping through the state's third annual health report with my colleague Deb Becker, who's covering the current opioid epidemic. So check this out, Deb. Dr. Oliver sent out a questionnaire to doctors and pharmacists around the state, and they found some hotspots.
Oh, boy. In Boston, he writes, two prominent druggists each have six habitual users. In Worcester, one druggist reports opium is used to an alarming extent. And in Athol, a pharmacist worries that his 12 regular opium buyers are increasing their daily dose.
Isn't it amazing how familiar this sounds?
I know, right?
And in 1872, doctors are again blamed for, quote, the injudicious and often unnecessary prescription of opium.
And this, Martha, apparently women were really at risk. Listen to this description. quote, "The fact that women constitute so large a portion of opium takers is due more to moral than physical causes. Doomed to a life of disappointment, it is not strange that nervous depression would sometimes follow, with opium being discreetly selected as the safest and most agreeable remedy."
One thing they also talk about, Deb, is whether making alcohol illegal is affecting the rates of addiction. The report says opium addiction may have been increasing because some states were cracking down on the sale of alcohol.
So when did this first epidemic end, Martha?
Well, Deb, David Courtright at the University of North Florida, who's written the book on the history of opiate addiction in the U.S., says it petered out just after the turn of the century.
And the reason it did so is that doctors became much more circumspect about prescribing. Even before the federal government intervened with the 1914 Harrison Narcotic Act,
which limited the use and availability of opium as a legal drug. Courtright says he's been surprised to see another opium epidemic driven by overprescribing in the U.S. And he's disturbed because this one is more complicated.
One thing that a morphine addict in 1890 didn't have was a massive alternative supply of something like heroin. Now, increasingly, that cheap heroin is spiked with potent synthetics like fentanyl.
Most of that fentanyl, or the ingredients used to make it, is produced in China and shipped to the U.S.
And there is a kind of bitter irony in that.
As Boston's history with China, opium, and addiction continues. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.